Very warm welcome to see all of you on the Lord's Day evening, when most other people will be enjoying themselves. So good to see all of you. 12 years ago, when we went to Vancouver to start our BP church, I got to know a man from where our dear friend Paul Ferguson comes from. That is Northern Ireland, and that's a place where I lived for over 2 years. So it is my special joy to welcome the Reverend Ian Gollinger from Northern Ireland and ask him to come up and say a few words of greetings to us.
Good evening, and it is a joy to be here in Pandan. I have happy memories of speaking at your camp in 2004, I think it was, 2004, and that was a special occasion. So here we are back in Singapore again, and I trust the Lord will bless you and help you in the cause of the Lord Jesus. Now, I know that Dr. Toh is going to be speaking tonight on the flood, and that reminds me of Noah's Ark. I read a little caption recently of Noah's Ark, and it was full of holes. All over it was full of holes, up high, down low, each side, all around. Many, many holes were in the ark. And then at the bottom of the caption it said, "The woodpecker will have to go." So we just wonder, how did the woodpecker survive the flood? Maybe Dr. Toh will enlighten us on that this evening. We have happy memories of Dr. Toh's visits to Vancouver and to his fellowship with his wife in the Vancouver BP Church. I should inform him that we have just opened a new bridge over the Fraser River that will shorten the trip between our Free Presbyterian Church and the BP Church. And there we trust that the fellowship bonds will grow. So again, we count it a great joy to be here in Singapore. It is a joy to witness the Lord's grace amongst His people. And we pray the Lord will bless and give increase in the days to come.
Please turn with me to the Word of God in 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Tonight we are touching on a topic that ought to capture and focus our attention every day. This is the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. His return to earth, as promised, in power and great glory. This event that is sure to happen, possibly in our day, is also the one event that the world does not believe in. Not only the world, but the church does not believe in. Please follow as I read chapter 3 of 2 Peter. "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Saviour. Know this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water, perished by the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. The one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, blameless. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this epistle written by thy servant, Apostle Peter, to remind us of this great cataclysmic event that will fall on planet Earth very soon, for we see all the signs. May thy Holy Spirit impress upon us the reality and the nearness of this earth-shaking event. May the name of our Savior be greatly exalted, and saints be awakened. Any who could be sleeping may awake tonight to the nearness of the Lord's return. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you thought of this event in the last 24 hours? I remind myself, and I think you ought to also. I have tonight quite a number of OHPs. I still live in the dark ages. People use PowerPoints, but I don't understand that. I wonder whether you recognize that instrument. Every time you drive a car up to a Shell station, they say, fill up. This is it. Every time you fill up your tank, remember the flood. Where does that oil come from? Do you know the name of that oil? Petroleum comes from two words. Rock, petra, oleum, oil. Rock oil. I do not know what they call it in Mandarin, but in Japanese, since I learned Japanese, it is called sekiyu. Stone oil. Now you say, why stone oil? Well, this was got out of the internet by Gene, not by me, because I do not understand the internet. Now what does it show? All the countries where oil is found, amazing, practically every country. Does it tell you a story, something, that once upon a time, the whole world was covered with the precursors of petrochemicals is an amazing fact of nature. Where did that oil come from is what we shall see in a moment. It is a great mistake for us to think that the earth, as we know it, was here from the beginning. It was not. If you turn to Genesis chapter 1, God's word is so wonderful, so marvelous, so amazing. Genesis chapter 1, I used to read and I used to wonder, where did all the water come from that caused the flood? And where did all the water go to after the flood? Are you still wondering? Chapter 1, verse 6. The Lord God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Let it divide the waters from the waters." I just could not understand in those days. But now, I do. I hope you too. God created water in two portions. One is down below, separated by the atmospheric heaven from another body of water which is up above. And this explains many of the mysterious findings of the events that happened during the flood. Verse 7. God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which are above the firmament. For firmament, read atmospheric heaven. So here is my representation of this water above the firmament. Most books will call it a canopy. I say, beg your pardon, I don't think it is a canopy. A canopy is what you put over your front door to give you added shade in case you should arrive in the midst of a rain and it keeps you dry. That is a canopy. This water that God created and put above the space of the heaven around the whole world is by no means a canopy. It is an envelope that goes around the world. It is recorded for us in Genesis 1, 6 to 8. So the next time you will read with understanding that you must not equate what happened before, the kind of earth that existed from the beginning is not the same earth that we live in today. When you understand that, then you begin to understand the flood. Now, this is not in the Bible. But if you study the facts carefully, you will be led to this conclusion that in the beginning, God created an earth which spun round on the axis that is vertical. How do we know? Because seasons were not mentioned until after the flood. You know what seasons are? Summer, spring, summer, autumn, winter. And the northern winter is a very cold event up in the North Pole. The North Pole and the polar circle area is frozen all the time, under deep freeze. That is today. If you go to the North Pole, you find it like that. During summer, a very brief summer, and a few small plants will grow. Then comes autumn, everything goes to sleep, and winter goes under deep freeze. Now, I will explain to you shortly why it is so important to understand this. when the axis is vertical and there is this water vapor envelope that goes right round, the Earth's atmosphere is enclosed. And it is called the greenhouse effect. Inside this enclosure, there is minimum of change in atmospheric pressure as well as atmospheric temperature. Under those conditions, it cannot rain. This is authority of scientists. It cannot rain. Now we turn to Genesis chapter 2. It tells us God had not caused it to rain. Amazing! People bypass this or read it skimpily and they do not take any notice to this important statement. God had not caused it to rain. Why? Because of this original state of the atmosphere. No rain was possible. That is one of the reasons why the people in Noah's time could not believe that there was going to be rain, to rain and to flood. Noah preached righteousness possibly 100 or 120 years. You say, how come? Because in those days, average age of mankind was 912, over 900 years. Is that strange to you? Today in Singapore and in more advanced countries, average age has gone above 70 to 80 to 85, climbing very slowly. But this age is the same as at the time of Moses. Moses wrote, the days of our years are 70. And if you are stronger than normal, then it is 80. Then you say, why do I live so long? It's labor and sorrow to live on this earth today, as it was in Moses' time. What is our hope? What is your hope? Dearly beloved, we are here tonight to talk about the Lord's return. And that is our hope, our blessed hope. Outside of that, you have no hope, none at all. So remember, there was a body of water, most likely in vapor form, high above the atmospheric heaven that encloses the whole earth. So this kind of closed atmosphere does not allow of rain and of storms. No violent movement, no hurricane, no typhoons, none of those things, because it was impossible. And that is why the Lord God in Genesis 1:31 looked at the whole creation and what did He say? It is very good. No typhoons, no deserts, no frozen mountaintops, none at all, none, because there were no high mountains. Do you know that? So, if you have not learned anything tonight, if you learn this, that the earth was never like what it was today, what it is today, in the time of Adam. Now, why do people live so long? God said, your food to men and animals, your food is herb, that is green plants, seed, fruit. Those of you who love nuts, that is your world. That's your diet. And mind you, people who resort to a vegetarian diet, they claim it is more health producing. And that is one of the reasons why pre-flood days men lived to over 900 years. The environment of the earth was different from today. The water envelope shielded the earth from the noxious radiations and particles that fly through space, from the sun, from all the other heavenly bodies. Atomic particles that keep on bombarding, they are absorbed. They were absorbed by the strong water envelope. So remember that. There is a reason why Adam lived to 930 years, and Noah to 950, and Methuselah, the record holder, lived to 969 years. Amazing. How come? Because of this, I want to show it to you again, so that you understand. The physical conditions for the production of the world encompassing flood were all created by God at that time. So, remember the diet in the beginning. You cannot have things like McDonald's. They go bankrupt. Herb, seed, fruit shall be for meat. And this is productive of long life. Many people emigrate to America, and very soon they are afflicted with all kinds of life-shortening diseases because they eat a lot of McDonald's. Now, again, this I've just mentioned to you. There was a very different watering system. You say, how can it be? We live in tropical Singapore. It's so hot. We all pour water on every plant. Do you know it was not necessary in the days before the flood? Not necessary. You say, how can it be? Answer, go to the desert. The desert never rains. How come there's plants with flowers, beautiful flowers? How come? The Lord God had not caused it to rain, but a fine mist. What is a mist? Water in vapor form. It goes round and waters those plants. In Noah's days, before the flood, because of the water shield, water envelope, there is little of evaporation. And there is no strong sun. Therefore, there was no need of a lot of water every day. Gardeners, holiday. No need of gardening, of watering. So God had not caused it to rain, but a fine mist watered the whole face of the ground. Praise God, He never leaves us puzzled. Puzzled about how on earth it could have a flood of that magnitude. We are still talking about the pre-flood world. And God saw everything He had made. It was very good, which includes all these that I've put here. You can add some more. No wild beasts. You know, critics of the flood said, how on earth could Noah manage two by two? Answer is here. They were not wild. That's how they came to Adam to have their names given. They were all man friendly. Partly because there was no eating of meat. No one killed any animals. So the animals were very friendly. They had not become frightened of men with knives going for their throats. No wild beasts, no killing, no deserts. Because under that kind of condition, as I say, it's like a greenhouse. You don't have extreme heat, don't have extreme cold, no deserts, no high mountains. You know, the word mountain does not appear until after the flood. And that is how the highest hills were overflowed by 15 cubits of water. Today, it is totally physically impossible for any of the high mountains to be overflowed with water. You know that above 16,000 feet, that is called the snow line. Anything above it freezes. And the water therefore cannot go up to Mount Everest at 27,000 feet up. Physical impossibility. Not in those days. So, you can rest assured in those days there were no mountains above, that was total guesswork, not a thousand feet up. No ice deserts. Where are the ice deserts? The whole North Pole, the whole South Pole, the whole area is nothing but ice. No storms because of the atmospheric stability. No great variation in pressure or temperature. No deadly weather. A very different world altogether until Noah's flood came on earth. Now here's the flood chronology. As we review this, I pray that you will pray. Pray that you understand. Pray that this is not an academic exercise, but this is a reminder. God once destroyed the earth with water, but immediately after that great flood, the Lord God says, not again. I will make now a covenant. And God showed the beautiful rainbow with the rain that came first after the flood. When the sun was shining and there was a drizzle, there was a beautiful rainbow, and the Lord God said, this is the sign of my covenant. I will not again flood out the whole earth for my mercy's sake. So, a global flood, it was once only, which destroyed all the earth. It will not happen again. God has said so, and it is so. Trace the chronology of the flood. Fountains of the great deep, we do not understand fully. But there have been various explosions of underground chambers containing water and steam and rock and ash and all kinds of things in volcanic explosions. So we may believe and deduce from the record of Scripture that God had a vast underground reservoir of water. And because the whole inside of the earth is a molten mass of metal, red hot inside, you may believe that a lot of that water was pent up almost to boiling point, so that when it was released, it came out in great masses of steam and hot water, shooting upwards, fountains of great deep broken, windows of heaven opened. This is that water layer came down in unprecedented torrents. Have you ever been caught in a Sumatra storm? A real Sumatra is so heavy in that kind of shower, you will not see this end of the table from the other end. I was caught when I was sailing, or learning to sail, trying to sail. And as they say, fools rush in when angels fear to tread. I was in Changi Yacht Club. This was about 25, 30 years ago. And all the boats were coming this way, coming back in speed towards Yacht Club to berth their boats. I didn't know that. I said, you are clearing the water for me to sail. I went right in. Not knowing there was a black cloud gathering in the distance. As soon as I reached under the cloud, all hell broke loose. Waters came pouring down. I thought, oh, the windows of heaven really opened. I could not see the end of the boat from the other end. The boat capsized. I sat on the top of the bottom of the boat. Thank God I'm still here. Because the lightning and the thunder was just phenomenal. There must have been at least 2 or 3 dozen lightnings. And all the time I remember the Japanese, golfer. Wow. Those of you who play golfer know what I mean. He was just taking shelter under a tree with a golf club. And one zap, psh, he was finished. I said, tomorrow's Straits Times, I'm sure it says, gynecologist struck by lightning. Thank God it didn't strike me. But I tell you, I never prayed so hard in all my life. I was so sure I will be struck because the storm and the lightning and the thunder were so tremendous. And there I was cowering on the top of an upturned boat. Now the Word of God says, the high hills, the highest hills, not the name, the word, not mountains. I think our convention says at least 1,000 feet to be a mountain. Is that right? Still the geography is the same today? So that we may assume there were no high hills above 1,000 feet. And they were covered 22 feet approximately, cubit. Waters prevailed 150 days. It's so sad there are some Christians, even theologians, who doubt the global size and extent of the flood. They don't believe. Why don't they believe? Because they are filled with unbelief. It's just simply they do not believe what God tells them to believe. But if they don't believe, they should postulate that. Why have a flood? No need to have a flood. If God wants to flood up that area, just tell Noah, move house. Move to higher land. Move away from that area. But that was a tremendous flood and rain, and the whole flood prevailed 150 days. And it took over 1 year for the waters to recede and for the earth to dry up enough for people to get out of the ark and walk again on dry land. Amazing. Now here we come back to that shell station. Rapid sedimentation. Meaning to say, the crust of the earth was broken up at the time when the rains began. The fountains of the great deep were broken. You understand, the top layer of the earth is called the crust. And that crust contains dry matter of earth, whatever the makeup of that, the composition was. It was dry for over 1,000 years, had never contacted any water. Those of you who deal in cement will understand what I say. If you put cement in the water and let it run, it would sediment into whatever system you have and become a concrete layer down below at the bottom. This was what happened here. When the waters came down, the earth and the material on the earth, on the surface of the earth, met water for the first time. Never yet touched water. That's why that crust of the earth was dry and still remain in powder form. But once the rain came down, they became mixed and then fell downwards as sedimentation. Now, as I showed you very early on, This forms the sediment, and beneath the sediments were the large trees. Today, the largest tree is in some park in America, Yellowstone Park or some park. And do you know how tall it is? Over 700 feet tall. Over 700 feet. And the diameter is 25 feet. How much is 25 feet from there to here? That is the diameter, and the height is 700 feet. If mankind lived to 912 years before the flood, how long do you think that the trees lived? 1,000? Possibly? Over 1,000? How big were the trees? How tall were the trees? And when the earth crust shook, all the trees were uprooted and they went down. Do you know that wood gets heavier with age? And so those old trees were very heavy. And in the shaking up of the crust of the earth, with the torrential rain coming down, all the trees were heaviest, far heavier than anything else, and they went down first. Then on top comes the sedimentation. I will show you the sedimentation in a moment. So what is the composition of this layer? The first thing is all the heavy trees go down first. On top is the sediment of rocks. The earth, like cement, mixed with water, comes on top of the trees, and you will see sedimentation of rocks. So the first layer that goes down is hydrocarbon, which form the fossil fuels. On top are the rocks, and finally, on the top of the rocks are the fossil remains of plants and animals that are stuck in that rock. Now, a very strange phenomenon, which I will show you in a moment, is the presence of tropical animals in the North Pole. Did you know that? Explorers and tradesmen who go into the polar circle found, to their amazement, frozen in the deep freeze, the remains of 5 million animals. Most famous is the Siberian mammoth. The Siberian mammoth is like an elephant, except it's got long hair, and it is an elephant. And there are millions of these, and other animals like foxes and wolves and tigers and leopards and other animals of size, as well as trees. Today you go there, and the only vegetation that can grow is a small lichen, small things. But the remains of those living things, trees and animals, tells you one thing. You can do a bit of detective work. The climate in the North Pole once upon a time was very different from today. Because of that water envelope, and because the axis was vertical. Now, this is not in the Bible, but this is simply by your knowledge of elementary geography. It could not have been a slanted one like this, where the world goes that way. It's a vertical, and the world goes round. So that the climate is equal, North Pole also habitable, also allows of animals and plants to grow. And in the equator, not much hotter. And at the South Pole, the same. You go to the South Pole, there is evidence of life inside the snow and inside the ice under the South Pole. How come? Because God had not caused the axis to tilt at the time of the flood. There are animals frozen in the North Polar Circle. Some of them were deep frozen until the meat is edible today. Amazing. Meaning to say, supposing the flood were, say, 4,500 or 5,000 years ago, the freeze came so suddenly, so strongly, and caught those animals by surprise. They were deep frozen within a matter of minutes. And so those animals are proof that there was a very different climate over the North Pole in those days. Now, I say again, this is by deduction, that there is a realignment of the earth. Where did the flood water go to? This is a good question, isn't it? There is Noah floating with his family in the ark on top of water, and there is no land. The highest hills were covered by 22 feet of water. Then, where did that water go to? Can you answer that riddle? At the height of the flood, and imagine this is Noah's ark here, the sea had covered everything. There's no land in sight. The only physical structure was the ark floating, and the earth is submerged under the sea. Now, where does that water go to? Where did it go to? You read the Bible, it says the water kept going. Where? Here is the explanation. Rearrangement of the crust of the earth. Under the conditions of the flood, it was fairly equal. Now God gives a command and parts of the earth sink into the sea. That is the part that sinks. And parts of it rise up. Is that possible? We have seen this in modern times. Sometime in around 70, there was the great explosion of Krakatoa. We have read this in the books. Out of nowhere came an island. Where did it come from? From under the sea, and belched out volcanic ash and steam. So God caused the earth to rearrange itself by 0.04%. 5 miles up, 5 miles down, out of a circumference of 25,000 miles. Those who are good mathematicians, 5 miles up, 5 miles down is only 10 miles. But the whole circumference of the earth is 25,000 miles. So a little rearrangement. Earth goes up, some earth goes down. The sea now takes on a new dimension, and dry land appears, and Noah can then park his boat, his craft, on dry land again. How come? Where did the land come from? The land came from under the sea. Where did the sea go to? The sea went where the land subsided. Now I will show you my collection of sedimentary rocks. Because this is a phenomenon seen around the globe. You go to North America, go to Canada. We made the trip across Canada on the railway. And you see it for hundreds of miles. But the greatest and the most famous is the Grand Canyon. The Grand Canyon covers an area of 250,000 square miles. Can you see this? This is a very distant and long perspective view of the Grand Canyon. This is close up of the Grand Canyon. Do you see the beautiful layering? Where did this layering come from? From the earth crust, when the founders of the great deep shook, and all the crust of the earth became mixed with water, and after the mixture, settled down to form these. You notice the continuity in great strands of layering of the earth which became a rock. There are two kinds of rocks generally. One is called the igneous or the hot rocks, which come from volcanic eruptions from within the depths of the earth. This is called the cold rocks, mixture of water that settles down and that is a soft and cold cold rocks. This goes on for hundreds and thousands of miles, and this kind of rock covers 70% of the earth's crust today. You can find this anywhere you go. I was in Philippines the last time, and I took some pictures. I'll show them to you. But this is from Australia. Those of you who went to Australia, you see this. This is just next to the so-called 12 Apostle Formation on the south coast of Victoria. When you drive along there, this beautiful layering, every layer speaks to you. If they had mouth and tongue to tell you, said, I was formed 4,500 years ago when the flood took place. The waters from above and from underneath mixed, and I became a layer here. This is beautiful. You cannot explain any other way except by a global flood. I will not show you all my collection because you'll be here till quite late, but just show you a few. This is where we visited the country of Jordan. It's called Petra. A whole city was carved into rock, and these are the rocks. Where did these rocks come from? Noah's flood. And they were laid down again in layers and layers and layers. This is again in Australia. Can you see the identical, symmetrical layering of the rocks? This can only happen if the whole earth was overflowed with water and the earth's crust shook and it came down same time, simultaneously, to form these stratified rocks in layers, beautiful. This is, if it is a cake, it's called Kueh Lapis. Here it is. Layer by layer. You know how difficult it is to make that Kueh Lapis? You stand there for 2-3 hours and put in layer by layer. But in this flood, instantly it came down into layers. When we toured the Sinai Peninsula, yes, the whole way, hundreds of miles, only stratified rocks. Where did they come from? The same Noah's flood. This is in China. See, the same idea. Whether you go to South America, North America, Asia, is the same layering after layering for miles and miles, hundreds and thousands of miles around the world. Every rock speaks to you. I was formed when God drowned out the old world. And the Lord says, you keep asking me, when is your coming again? What did Jesus tell his disciples and those who were asking? As in the days of Noah. And today you tell people of Noah's flood, people laugh at you. Jesus says, that is the sign I'll be coming. When the church does not believe, when Christians and theologians do not believe, that is a sign of my coming again. even in the North Polar area, you see, layering with snow. The same idea, the rocks are formed in layers. And so, now as I said, you go to the North Pole, this was salvaged from the North Pole some years ago in Siberia. An elephant of this kind, frozen suddenly while there was still grass in the mouth and the grass could still be identified. They cut up the stomach and there was still undigested food in the stomach. All defrozen. Thank God for that deep freeze. To give us the evidence that once upon a time, the polar circle was not the cold ice desert it is today. At that time, because of the shield and the envelope of water vapor, it was a very comfortable climate, and plus the vertical axis of the earth. Now, how come these animals, 9,000 of these animal carcasses are found on the top of a mountain in America called Nebraska, somewhere in America? What were they doing up on the mountain? They don't normally live on mountaintop. Where did these animals come from? 9,000 of them, by counting bones. Answer, as the floodwaters rose, they ran to higher ground, higher and higher, until they had nowhere else to run under the mountaintop. Then the waters came up and overflowed, and they drowned. Finally, never assume our earth is the same as the earth before the flood. Before the flood, man's average age was 912. After the flood, very quickly it fell. By the time of Abraham, his father lived 205 years. 205. What happened to the 700 other years? Gone. Man's age expectation fell right down until Abraham, 175, compared to the 900. Today, the average age is 80, 85, depending on the country, of course. Some countries, like in Africa and India, average age may be just 30 or 20 or 40, depending on the kind of health. So now, dear friends, we will conclude 2 Peter chapter 3 again. To be reminded, Second Peter chapter 3, verse 7. The Word of God says to us, the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same Word of God, are kept in store, reserved unto fire. I showed you last week the Chinese character of great disaster. On top is water, below is fire. The first great disaster that happened to planet Earth was by water. The second great disaster coming is by fire. Are you ready? When there was water coming over the whole earth, the only safe place was in the ark that floated on the water. Now, question. When the next judgment comes by fire, where will you be? Only in the Lord Jesus Christ, when He comes, you are taken up. The earth will be destroyed. And a new heaven and new earth will be formed. Verse 12. Look for and hasten unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, Beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot, blameless. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, may your Holy Spirit bring to remembrance constantly, daily, that the Lord's return is near, even at the doors. May your people be encouraged to walk with thee, watching unto prayer, until we hear the midnight cry, the bridegroom cometh. In Jesus' name, amen. The closing hymn is 2.